July 30th, 2010, it's the Lullabot Podcast.
Lullabot Podcast.
It's Lullabot Podcast number 87. We get together every couple of weeks, something like that, and talk about Drupal. I'm Jeff Robbins, and I'm here with several people. Some of them are Lullabots, some of them are not. First here, we'll introduce the Lullabot people. Jeff Eaton, say hello.
Hello.
Jeff is a consultant for Lullabot, and goes around and talks to people about Drupal all the time. He's omnipresent.
I also write and maintain novelty modules.
Yes, novelty modules. We also have Dave Burns here.
Hi-ho.
Developer extraordinaire. Dave, you actually used to work at Sony with Earl Miles, who is also here.
Yes, that's Hello. Why I'm the evangelical panels user.
Yes, the panels guy on the Panels versus Context podcast.
Does that make this a panels context panel?
Yeah. Earl, you're no longer at Sony. You're now working for the British people.
I am. Well, they're Irish.
They're Irish and British, you know.
Yes.
Over there.
Yes, IO1.
IO1, based in the UK, snatched up Earl Miles, and now you work your magic over there. Earl is known as Merlin of Chaos on Drupal.org and has probably written most of the modules that you love in your Drupal installation, in particular views and also panels, which we're going to talk about on this podcast.
And don't neglect C-tools.
Yes.
Yes.
The chaos tools, which one tools to rule them all. And we also have Young Han on the podcast. Hi, Young.
Hello.
Young works for Development Seed. He's the man behind other magical modules that you probably also have and use and love. And if you don't have or use or love them, you probably should. features, right? Mm-hmm. And context. You're not actually the maintainer on context, but you're one of the guys that makes it happen.
Sure.
Close enough.
I'm just going to say that. Hey, we've got you here. This is the infamous context versus panels podcast, which sort of came about partly just because people have asked us a lot about it. They ask a lot about panels sometimes and say, oh, you know, you guys should do a video about panels or you guys should do a video about features and context and spaces and boxes and the whole sort of what I call the DAO of Development Seed, these sort of bunch of modules that work together to create sort of exportable systems. It's a really nice deployment system for rolling out code and features on your website. But we kind of haven't really tackled either of them. But we figured maybe we would do a little podcast and talk about it. Dave Burns wrote an article on lullabot.com sort of explaining some of these kinds of things. Dave, what was your article called so people can Google it?
Building pages with Drupal. And it all rooted from two presentations I did, one at Drupaldelphia and Drupal Camp Colorado.
Right on. Yeah. And I mean, I think that there's what you want to give a sort of a summary of that that article?
Yeah. When I came to Lullabot, we were in charge of helping Corbin and Jay Ponch put together the new Lullabot site.
James Sansbury and Jared Ponchot. Yes.
For those of us who don't always spend their time on IRC, is there anyone here who doesn't remember people by their IRC handle?
IRC. That was the first thing that
What's
came
that?
To mind.
I think I've heard of it.
But they came from a context background, and you know, we've worked with it a little bit before, but have always been building sites with panels. So getting exposed to it, and there were some conversations where you're like, well, this would have been a lot easier with panels. And then, you know, you get more familiar with it, and then you're like, you know what, this was kind of the right way to go. So that was like an internal thing, like in future projects, are we going to lean more towards context, more towards panels? So I kind of took a step back, and I did a strong comparison of both. And just for myself, and I'm like, well, this is a lot of good information to share, and I'm sure other people would benefit from it. So that's kind of what the whole thing discusses. And got a lot more feedback and comments that people didn't quite agree with what I said. So I'm interested to hear from the pros, the people that ride it, to get their feedback as well.
If everyone disagrees with you, you know you're using Drupal.
But before we get started, I want to quickly mention Lullabot workshops coming up in London, England. Drupal Module Development Deep Dive Week. Yes, we're going to put on our wetsuits and dive deep into Drupal. Happening in the UK, September 20th through the 24th. We've got two different workshops happening that week. Basic Drupal Module Development is September 20th and 21st, and Advanced Drupal Development, September 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. We've got Angie Webchick Byron. If you ever visit Drupal.org, you've probably seen Webchick posting around. Angie is the co-maintainer of Drupal 7, and she's going to be teaching the workshop along with Randy Fay and Joe Schindler, who are other Lullabot trainers. Should be a great workshop. We did this workshop in Washington, D.C. It sold out. It was a really great success, just a really great chance to dive deep into the Drupal module development and APIs and come away as a Drupal superhero. So we're bringing it over across the Atlantic and to London. You can find out about this and all other Lullabot events at lullabot.com/events. And you should also, while you're there, maybe, you know, sign up for our mailing list, and we'll let you know when we have other workshops coming up. Okay. I think that both of these modules sort of, if we were to find the common points, I mean, one of the common points between these two modules is a frustration with the way that Drupal's block system works. Would we agree on that?
I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and we found the same thing. I mean, as we started building Buzzer, one of the things that we realized really early on is that although as Drupal developers, site builders, you kind of build the blocks and you sort of go through the Drupal block system, and then you place the block somewhere, and the sort of kind of philosophy of it is like, just you have some blocks and you want to place them on the site somewhere and then kind of forget about them, right? But what we found with Buzzer was that actually blocks are really, really powerful and actually a really important thing. And although they go into the actual site development aspect of things, they can be really a powerful way of building pages and for people who are quickly building sites like Buzzer, where there's focus on people being able to quickly build a new site. But even for those of us sort of more, you know, people building larger websites, if you kind of start to master the blocks and you can do sort of magical things with them, like in the case of panels at its simplest, and I'll let you get more in depth with it in a moment, Earl, but at its simplest, you know, panels can create a page that's made up of blocks. There is no content on the page. There is no content other than blocks. And then context, and I'll also let you, Young, explain context a little bit better, and also some of the other things like spaces. But at its simplest, context allows you to create more complex rules for where blocks are placed on your site. So you could say, you know, show this advertisement in the blog section of our website, and define contexts in different ways. So context could be an area of the site, or it could be based on something about the user or something like that. You can kind of set up your own contexts. Let's start with you, Earl. I think that panels predates the other stuff. So do you want to talk a little bit about sort of how panels came into being and maybe sort of bring it up quickly to the current state of things with panels? Oh,
can we start by mentioning dashboard module?
Sure.
That's where we have to start, yeah. The dashboard is actually the first true module I wrote. It existed before Vue's. Because the very first thing I wanted to do when I downloaded Drupal to build the site that I was trying to build was to have a front page with columns. And in Drupal 4.6, there was simply no way to do it. Dashboard was a super simple module that was a node type that let you have a top, left, right, and a bottom. And then you could put dashboards inside dashboards, and you could use its templating to hard code pages if you wanted. And so very simply, you were able to build this, you could at least get the columns, which weren't even available without just writing it yourself, which was, kind of annoying. And it was one of those things when I got into Drupal, I didn't understand why it didn't do that. Why wouldn't you want to be able to have layouts on the page? Panels came about after that in Drupal 4.7. Literally, I had insomnia one night, got up, and said, what am I going to do with this time that I now have free? And over the next two nights, I wrote the very first version of panels, which had a not drag and drop, but basically very simple layout system where you could add blocks and views. And it had four content types, blocks, views, and a custom content type. And I don't remember what the other one was. And use a layout plugin so that you could at least build the layouts and then add stuff to it. And then it grew completely out of proportion from there, hit at least three major dead ends, and killed 8 billion sites or something. I'm not quite sure if that number is accurate. But and now today it's trying to take over Drupal and actually be Drupal.
It's I think that probably for some of us that have used it, that's a pretty accurate description. I mean, it's surprisingly sort of self-realized of you. I mean, like, panels is very complex, and it really does redefine a lot of the stuff that Drupal does or wants to do, and comes up with new ways of doing them that are in many ways better thought out, but in a lot of other ways much more complex and a little bit harder for new users maybe to grok, to get their head around.
They have difficult side effects, that's for sure. One of the biggest problems with panels is the way it interacts with other modules that expect Drupal to be Drupal. And part of the issue is that Drupal wants you to have content with blocks, and panels wants you to have blocks in layouts that you've selected. And just how you even start when you're doing that is very different. So you end up having to look at building a site from a different angle. And what I've gotten was from talking to designers is that panels works a little bit more closely to how designers think about building a website. Whereas Drupal initially kind of works in the way that you think of when you're building a blog, where the most important thing is your list of blog posts and your blog post, and then everything else is attached to it. And that's true on a blog site and not on many other sites.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Well, let's start with you, Young. Do you want to talk about how context and sort of the adjacent modules came into being?
Sure. So like Earl, we started from a lot of frustration with the block system. And actually, in particular, context came about during a product sprint over 3 years ago now on managing news, where basically we were using Drupal as more of a framework. And so one of the imperatives of the sprint was that nothing could live in the database. So even, for example, our menu items and so on were generated through code. And so we were looking for a way to take the block system and translate that into something that could basically have an API and be something that could be triggered and have rules based on stuff that's going on in Drupal's code. And so sort of the first iteration was a very simple Node UI-based API for setting contexts and then having those contexts that are active trigger reactions for showing blocks or showing menu items or changing some behavior of the theme and so on. So context comes from a sort of API background early on, and then since then it's sort of morphed into sort of a wider variety of conditions and reactions that you can configure to have certain things happen on your site.
Right. Yeah. So this whole idea of exportables is sort of at the heart of context and then features and that kind of stuff, right? I mean, one of the difficulties of a lot of aspects of Drupal is that so much stuff gets stored in the database. So much configuration gets stored in the database. And so when you're creating, and Earl, you hit the same thing early on, right? When you're creating views, they're stored in the database. And so then you create the view and then you've finally figured out this complex view and you want to then roll it out on your live site. You need a way to export that. And I mean, in context in particular, you know, with the block system, you've got that same problem with the block system in Drupal, where, all of that configuration and the more complex that it is, it's that much more stuff that's stored in the database, down to storing, you know, PHP rules in the database, as to whether a block should show up here or there
One thing that I think when I was getting used to like figuring out what context and spaces and features and panels and C tools all actually did and where their areas of responsibility were, it can be a little tricky. DevSeed puts out modules like General Electric manufactures products, so it's like, you know, they make like tanks and helicopters and refrigerators, and it's like features, that whole like exportables thing isn't necessarily tied to context. So there's a lot of like, there's a lot of synergy between them. Like if you set up spaces and context rules and stuff like that, bam, you can export them using features. But it also, it doesn't depend on them. So that's one point that I've learned is.
But they do make our job a lot easier.
This is very true.
Features is currently the glue that brings everything together, because as far as I know, you can use all the panel stuff as features because it uses Ctools exports. So it's all kind of one big exportable family. We all want that.
You've just totally ruined the whole cage match vibe now.
I know. But, yeah. I mean, but you're right, Jeff. I ran into this right away with Vue's because initially my idea was that I would ship with templates to make it easy to copy basic Vue ideas and then adjust them. And what it turned out was, well, how about I just ship with these working views that emulate core? And, oh, well, how about you just put these in your site, and then you have them in code, and you can revision control them and move them to dev to live? And it was like, yeah, we want to do everything this way.
Yeah, I just like to point out that actually in like the first version of Context Era, I basically went through all of Earl's exportables code and views, and this was like views 1 at the time, and just read it. And I think that was to me a very important moment for me to learn about an approach to this problem that I think is probably one of the best thought out in the Drupal community, and actually possibly in just more widely on web CMS sort of patterns. The idea of exportables is not something you're going to find in a lot of other projects. And I think the way Earl approached it in Vue's and is now approaching it in Ctools is just excellent. And I think that's one of the really bright spots in the Drupal context space right now.
Yeah, does this? It seems for me, I've kind of gotten the features religion, and so let's define features. Young, you want to take a shot at that?
Like, sure. So features is in a lot of ways pretty simple. It comes from, like, I think if you've ever used exportables sort of quote unquote manually. So for example, using views, views will give you an export of a view, and it's your job to then take that code, copy it, and paste it into a module in the proper way so that you can then turn it on and have a default view. And features basically steps in and tries to make that manual process a little bit easier. So in particular, it does a couple things. First, it comes with Drush integration to make that writing to your file system possible very easily. And then the other portion is that it requires your feature module to keep a manifest of what's in it, and that happens in the info file. And once you know what a feature or module with exportables is trying to provide, you can do a variety of things. Like, for example, you can take a look at a view and tell whether it's overridden or not, and that can tell you whether you need to update that feature or not, and so on. So it becomes a sort of manager for exportables in a module that hopefully removes a lot of the tedium of copying and pasting, knowing whether you need to re-export a view because you made a change or not, and things like that.
So there's some confusing semantics around this. So features is a module that creates features, which in themselves are modules.
Yeah, we apologize for that.
Together, we are developing Skynet, just so you know.
we are. Yeah, exactly. And then these modules can write themselves. No, but basically it's an interface. Features provides an interface to export configurations as a module. And so, right, views, as an example, views also has had this exportability function for a while, but it didn't actually kind of create the module for you. Although with the bulk exporter, it comes pretty darn close. It says, copy this into this file, copy this into this file, and then place them in this directory. But with features, it actually creates a module and zips it up, or compresses it and provides it as a download for you that you then can put in the features modules directory. And then features also provides an interface for turning on and off these things.
What's really nice is it does it as includes, like your views and your content types. So if you want to do something really custom, it just includes those inside the module file. And then you could write your own custom functions that work with your content types, hook node APIs, and form alters. And when you export it again, it doesn't override any of that.
Yep. Yeah, I just want to, I mean, I know this is like, and we should probably stop talking about features at some point pretty quickly, but I think I was talking to Jeff the other day, and we were looking at the CTools bulk export module because, you know, we haven't turned it on in a while. And we were just laughing at how often Earl and our work just basically, we work on very, very similar problems and often come up with similar, if not the same solutions, but, you know, just happen to, you know, have a very similar approach to something in a completely different project. And I think that's sort of fun and interesting to see another perspective on like the same thing you're working on.
It's like this East Coast, West Coast thing.
Sure.
Yeah. the other really big win of features, like you kind of alluded to but didn't really call out very well, which is the thing that bulk export doesn't give you, which is you have to figure out what's changed.
Right.
Features is really good at figuring out what's changed and updating that for you.
And am I correct, Young, if you turn on the diff module, you actually get even more information about how things are different?
Yeah, so the way – I'm just to put the nail in the coffin here before we move on. the way features works internally is actually pretty interesting if anyone actually wants to explore that. But the idea is that in order to tell whether something's different or not, what we actually do is we export it twice. Right? We take a look at the export that's in code, and we take a look at what an export of what's in the database would be. And if those two things are different, because we've generated the code on either side, on the left-hand side, on the right-hand side, we can actually give you a diff of, you know, say you change the label on a view, we'll show that to you. Or if, and this is one of the things that confuses people, and it's an open issue on the queue, is that our terminology for override right now is actually quite different from what an override is to views or to CTools export. And it's And so this includes, you'll see differences where, say, the export structure of a view changes slightly, or the export structure of a certain, you know, content type or something changes slightly, and it's not actually a substantive difference, but say like the order of some keys are rearranged, or someone decided to key their array by strings and not numerically, you'll actually see that in the diff, and that's what Features is considering to be a change.
Sure, yeah. So again, just to kind of make sure that everybody who's listening understands, because we're solving a lot of problems that we, as companies doing development and deployment, issues that we come across on a regular basis. But I think for people that are new to sort of high level deployment kinds of things, somebody want to, maybe Jeff Eaton, you could do a definition about how this affects revision control and deployment strategies.
Okay. I think I can do this in no more than 90 seconds.
good luck.
Before the Earth's crust hard, when the Nephilim walked the Earth, everyone just FTP'd files up to their web server and they called it good. And if they needed to change things, they just renamed it to like homepage.1.html or something like that. Today, everyone understands that this is horrible and terrible. It's a bad idea and everything goes wrong terribly. Inevitably. So we use source control to do things like check in every change we make to a piece of code that drives the website so that you can A, know we're now pushing version 215 of the code for the website up to the live server, and you can know that that's what you're pushing up, not just the copy of files that happen to be in my on my hard drive in this folder at a particular time. It's a lot easier to sort of, you know, put a stake in the ground and know what you're actually working with at any given point. It's also a lot easier to roll things back and find out what's changed from one version of code to another. The problem is in a large system like Drupal, there's code, like say a module you've written or a module you've downloaded and put in there and are using to build a site, but there's also a lot of configuration information that just lives as data that you saved to your database, like a view, or a panel, or all of your, you know, configuration for context and spaces, though, or even like the content types that you define in the Drupal administrative screen that determine what kind of posts people can make on the site. All of those things are just settings that you've created and are saved in the database. And that's not something that you can easily just check into source control. So there's no good, easy way to push it from one site to another, like when you're testing it, then when you're actually deploying it. And that's basically the big tangly, hairy problem of deploying on a lot of web-based CMS systems. The way that Views really tackled that, and this was what was mentioned earlier, was it provides a way to take that data that you've saved into the database, say the definition of a view, and export it as actual PHP code that can be tossed onto another site and will recreate that view exactly as you created it on your original site. So the idea of using the UI to build out structures and do your configuration and then sort of, you know, baking them into actual code that does that work, that's a big part of the whole idea of exportables in Drupal. Views really pioneered it, and it, you know, the idea that you could build a view, export it, give it to a friend, and they could import it, or put it in your module, and it appeared automatically. That became a really big idea, and more modules have been implementing that. And Features is a tool for automating, say, taking all the different pieces that you've configured, like I want two content types, three views, a new user role, blocks should be placed here and there, all those kinds of settings that you're configuring that end up resulting in what you consider like an area of your site or a specific feature or piece of functionality. It can wrap those up and automatically do all of the export-import stuff for you and wrap that into a predefined module. It's not necessarily adding capabilities as automating a process and a workflow that people had determined was the best way to go about things. And I'm done.
That was a long 90 seconds.
But it was a very good explanation.
Excellent.
I think worth the wait.
And I got in a Nephilim reference.
So
and tectonic plates.
So, goodness, where should we go with this? I think... I'd like to sort of talk about kind of when people should think to use panels and when they should not. Young, you all, I'm a little hesitant. You know, this is open source and we all work together and we all care about one another. I'm a little hesitant about taking off the gloves and making it a bare knuckle fight. But at the risk of that, at Development Seed, you guys don't use panels very much, if at all. How do you solve those sort of similar problems, or do you need to solve those sort of similar problems that people are solving with panels?
I basically say that we don't use panels not because we don't like panels or we don't need panels, but because we're fortunate enough to have clients that don't ask us for things that require panels, or we design our way into a situation where we don't need a panel.
Crafty.
Yeah, it's great. But I think the short is that a lot of the sort of work we do is a lot of tools, a lot of user interfaces for things that act more like applications than, say, a newspaper or a complex layout. And so we have the benefit often of, you know, shooting for a very simple layout or a site that has a very consistent layout. And on projects where we have had clients ask for, you know, on this page I need, we used to have a layout that we called the six pack because it looked like, a six pack. And then they added another row and it became the eight pack and so on. But, you know, when a client asks for it, I need, a layout that looks like this. And then on the next page, I need a drastically different layout. And on the next page, I need yet another different layout. That is when we do take out the big panels gun.
Yeah. Earl, how do you recommend that people use panels?
See, the way I see things, I think, especially the way things are now, I think every site should be using panels. But that's because I think no one should ever have to look at the block UI ever again.
That's because Earl's trying to take over Drupal.
I am. I'm trying to become Drupal, darn it.
The block page is horrible for administrating. I mean, I've been on some sites where there's like 125 blocks, and when you go to switch it, it takes like 5 minutes for the JavaScript to put it in the proper location, and then you got to scroll all the way back down.
The blocks page is fine as long as you only have five blocks. If you start installing like modules, maybe more than core, you know, it gets a little bit difficult.
Go ahead.
The blocks administration page is a classic example of something that worked really, really well in Drupal 4.6, but has only grown in tiny little incremental steps, and suddenly everyone woke up and realized, wow, this is a monster.
Well, and there's some basic architectural problems. A block can be placed in a region. It can only be you can choose one region, and then you have a choice of when or when that block will not appear in that region. But if you want it to appear in this region on this page, and this region on this page, and this region on this page, you're in trouble. Or if you wanted to define this page has these regions, and this page has all of these completely other regions, then you're well beyond what Drupal Core is thinking about. And you're really into panels territory.
If you're not working with blocks in code, then the block really isn't aware of other things happening on the page. And I think that's the real strength of panels at the moment.
Yeah. One other simple thing that the block system can't do, and I think context actually can do this for you, is I want to have the random image block on the same page twice.
Yeah.
Can't do it. Young, I context can do that for you, right?
It can, but the way we have the UI set up currently, it's not encouraged.
Okay. So, what I've done is I created a small extra module because I wasn't sure I wanted to unleash this on unsuspecting people automatically, called Panels Everywhere, which really is the never ever look at your block administration interface again. Instead, create a site template and if you only have five blocks on your page, then you probably only actually need one, and use the drag and drop layout to control where your blocks are and how they're configured.
So basically, Panels Everywhere is a tool that says you should make a theme that has one region, and Panels is always in that region. And the stuff that you would normally do with Drupal regions, you just do in Panels.
Even better, you don't have to do that because it has a secondary option, which I recommend, which is to take over your page template rendering. And you don't even have, you literally don't even have page PHP. That goes away from your theme. And
we're going to need to get Adrian into this cage fight.
You instead create a layout and mark that up the way you need. Or use the flexible layout and do it with CSS or do whatever and put the page stuff you want on it and move stuff around that way. And it has a couple of helper functions to make this easy. Some parts of it are a little bit quirky because we're really used to having one unified page template. Like I converted Garland into a theme called Tinsel, which can use Panels Everywhere, and it kind of is annoying because the design of Garland is such that it assumes that you're never going to move things like the navigation. And so when you try to move it, the CSS just breaks.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, going back to sort of some of the stuff that we discovered when kind of rethinking the whole Drupal concept for Buzzer was like, well, why aren't the primary links a block? Why isn't the site name a block? Why isn't everything that's not a block on the page a block? Everything should be a block.
I agree with that. I think that everything should be a block, which means that really all your content is a whole bunch of blocks that you assemble. And then suddenly it really is like Drupal.
I actually have a question. I heard something very interesting that you just mentioned that I want to ask Young whether or not this might be sort of at the heart of the differences between the two. You mentioned about how, like, you know, the design of Garland doesn't really lend itself to being turned into a panel style approach where you can, you know, drag the navigation around and drag the footer to the header and stuff like that. It sounds like one of the things that's really baked into Panels is the idea of someone from the UI being able to go in and radically alter the design and a lot of the site structure and stuff like that. And from what Young has been describing, it sounds like a lot of the things that are baked into context and spaces revolve around the idea of, you know, a designer and a team working to build a site that has a particular design and works like a web application but needs much more complex and robust rules for controlling visibility than you would normally get with Drupal out of the box, as opposed to, say, putting a bunch of massive configuration power in the hands of people who are just purely going to be using the UI. Is that kind of an accurate...
Yeah, I think that's a pretty accurate description of the goal of the Context project, is that we'll never... I don't think we're going to be ever interested in giving the user the sort of power that that Earl often gives users. And so I know in like recent iterations of Panels, there's all sorts of power for adjusting the layout, actually changing the style of various elements on the page and things like that. And I think this brings up another sort of weirdness in Drupal core, which is there's ambiguity as to what responsibility should occur at the quote unquote theme layer, and that portion of the API. And I think because that is so sort of undefined, I think both of those are perfectly appropriate interpretations of how much power should be in the module and how much power should be, left to the theme layer. So I think that's accurate, Jeff.
If I recall correctly, at DrupalCamp or DrupalCon Boston, part of Drew's keynote was that Drupal eventually will get to the point where we're no longer working with template files and everything that a site builder needs to do is handled through the UI. Anybody else recall that?
And I believe Dries is currently pushing actually implementing all of that via the Acquia Drupal Commons project.
Wow.
that killed conversation.
we just don't even know what to say about that.
My bad.
I think the whole Skynet thing just comes into play there.
Yes.
It's actually been funny to watch like Dries's keynotes going back to like, you know, 2006, 2007 at different Drupal cons. He's talked about, you know, we've eliminated the webmaster. Eventually we'll eliminate the developer. I think next on the horizon is like eliminating the designer.
Good luck with that. I think Drupal needs to get designers into the community before we can eliminate them.
We haven't been able to get enough of them, and now it's just a pogrom.
When you come into the community, you come in with a big old target pasted right on your forehead. We're going to eliminate you.
Everyone. We eliminate the entire community.
But I think it is interesting that there's one of the things that I think is really interesting that a lot of panels' history and like the environment in which it really rapidly developed and was built out was for the Sony BMG project, and one where, you know, a large number of somewhat similar sites were being maintained on the same code base, but there needed to be a lot of sort of ad hoc flexibility for layout and, you know, positioning and stuff like that, that you didn't want to have, you know, developers have to be brought in to wrangle that stuff every time that something like that changed. I think
the MyPlay project pushed panels more to where it's at today with the interrelationship between content being displayed on the page.
Yeah, a lot of what went into future development were Dave and Jared running into issues developing MyPlay and like, oh, I need to make this better in future versions. So even though MyPlay maybe never got some of the stuff that I built for MyPlay, a lot of features came out of panels because of MyPlay and because of what came after MyPlay after Dave and Jared left.
And that was a Sony Music, like social music video.
It was a showcase site for all the artists.
So for people listening, you can go to myplay.com, and my understanding, and Earl, maybe you could talk about this a little bit more, the entirety of of myplay.com is panels. Every single page you look at is basically a panel.
Yes, and actually Dave can speak to that more since he actually did more in the way of building it, but yes, that is one of the first sites ever that was built using panels as the primary display mechanism.
It was a scary time because it was panels 1 and we migrated to panels 2 in the middle of this whole process. So we were really pushing what panels could do to the limit. And on a little side note, somebody Twittered the other day wondering if there's any Drupal sites with 500,000 plus nodes. And MyPlay is definitely one of those sites that's still running strong with a very large number of nodes.
I would say that's thanks to the caching mechanisms.
That's another difference between what context comes with out of the box versus panels, and something I mentioned inside of my article.
Oh, yeah. That's a very important aspect of panels, is that it gives you very fine-grained caching control. It's very important.
As does views.
Yes.
And then you can embed views into panels, and it gets confusing.
Yeah, you can actually end up caching the same content in both views and panels.
And the page cache.
Yes. Although you won't really fight that one so much, because the page cache will just cache everything.
Better safe than sorry. You know, when in doubt, cache the hell out of it.
So I mentioned in my article, I kind of defended people saying, hey, panels adds a lot of bloat. Could I get it directly from you, like, what your response is to that statement?
My response is that Sam Boyer spent several days doing exhaustive testing with AB, and he used a pretty naive test environment. But that said, in his test environment, he found that using a stock node page and overwriting it with panels and recreating it more or less as it was, panels added about 7%, and it added 4 queries.
There you go.
I don't think that's adding
with no caching,
and that was without the caching on.
Right, and then you could conceivably turn on the panels caching and technically perform better than.
Yes, and there are people out there using panels everywhere who have found that panels everywhere actually performs better because it doesn't make errors that Drupal makes with the block system.
Yeah,
because Drupal will render a block even though it's not visible. Even if that region is not on your page. Now, context, I think, helped fix that, but...
I think the lesson to be learned is everyone hates blocks.
Well, I don't want to totally get down on blocks. I mean, for the stuff that blocks does that fine. And I've certainly found, like right now, the new Lullabot site is using, context, and you sort of get in this mindset. Now, the context mindset is basically the reverse of the block mindset. The block system, you say, here's a block. I want to put it in this region. When do I want it to appear? Like, what pages do I want it to appear on? And in context, you start with the pages. Here's the pages I want. Which blocks do I want them to appear on this page? And the problem I've had is, like, I've got a block and I just want it to appear on all of the pages on the site. And from the context mindset, I had to kind of reprogram myself a little bit to, like, oh, I guess I need to create a new everywhere context. Or I could just go back to the original block system and turn on the block, which is still possible. By the way, neither of these, well, panels arguably does, but depending on how you're using it, I mean, you still have the block system available to you. Although,
yes.
And this is actually another one of those subtle differences between panels and context that I think can often cause a lot of confusion. Earl, again, correct me if I'm completely smoking crack, but... With panels, you sort of start by defining, like, an actual place on the site where someone goes, and you're making, like, a panel that lives at a particular URL, at least generally, 99% of the time. And you start defining, like, what the layout is. And you can... panels has something that is called context, which sometimes I think is where some of the confusion comes in.
It's
we in the Drupal world love us the abstract nouns. But the idea is that it can say, I'm making a panel that is where, say, nodes get displayed. And one of the context things that can be part of that panel is, like, well, okay, what's the type of node that is being displayed? And then you can do things like switch the layout or switch what blocks appear and stuff like that.
Actually, every CCK field becomes a context available to that node panel.
Right.
It's actually content at that point. It's okay. Content that becomes available because of the context.
Yeah, but the idea is sort of at a high level that you make a panel that lives in a place and it can get sort of information about the details of how it's being used at a particular moment. Like, I'm a panel that displays nodes. What node is being displayed? What are the properties of that node? I can switch and make different decisions based on that. And then context, on the other hand, is not necessarily tied to any particular, like, URL that you're creating on your website. Rather, it's about setting up rules that you say, oh, at URLs that match this particular pattern, I'm going to carve out a particular, like, space on my website and call that the news section or something like that. Context sort of looks at the environment and carves out that information about what's currently going on. And then things can look at that and respond to it by, like, changing the theme or changing what blocks are visible or whatever. So context, it seems to me, the context and spaces sort of... they're a layer that goes on top of what's going on the site and exposes more information and lets you set up rules that define, like, areas and zones on your website. Whereas panels is more, it goes a little deeper and says, okay, I'm going to be the traffic cop for this. And along the way, I'm also going to extract information about, about what cars I'm letting through and rerouting and stuff like that and allow people to make decisions based on that.
Panels everywhere? Panels everywhere can actually do that last part too. Because really what panels everywhere is saying that based on this set of rules, I want this page, and the rules can be any number of things like the theme, the language, or the path. I want to display this layout on that page. And then that layout will show you what blocks and what theming you're using and all of that.
So was panels everywhere the response to context?
No. Panels
everywhere. Fight!
Do it. Panels everywhere was the goal from the very beginning. It just took me 2 years to realize that I could do it. Because I always wanted to be able to tell people they don't have to use the block system to administer blocks. And panels everywhere couldn't happen until part of some of the features made it into panels 3. It wasn't really a response to context. It's just that context and panels everywhere both have the same goal in mind.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that came out from Jeff's explanation there is that it's something we talked about in DrupalCon San Francisco quite a bit, but in addition to our grievances with the block system, I think everyone has grievances with the menu system, or more accurately what we're calling the request system. And I think...
And bread and crumbs.
Right, and to me, like, sort of the real... For me, even though it's not very helpful to users, for me, the explanation of where the sort of differences in approach between how Earl's handling things in panels and panels everywhere and how we're handling things in context is that, you know, we're a little bit more chicken than Earl is. We're not... We don't just say, oh, we're going to take the page callbacks menu system and basically take over. We have a little bit more passive stance and say we're going to let those things do their stuff and try to sort of, you know, messily coexist on top. And I think Earl's work is in some sense a pioneering work in terms of what the request handling in Drupal should be like and how if you take over, what sort of implications that has for how your blocks work, how your layout works, how your theme system works. And I think if you want to be part of that, I think it's very exciting to think about sort of taking that jump from I'm going to use Drupal with, you know, the block system and the menu routing system and just try to live with that and sort of jump to the next step and say, okay, well, we're just going to leave that behind and try to move on. So I'd say that to me is the major difference is the request handling in panels is a lot more aggressive in terms of sort of conceptually what it wants to do with.
So what does spaces add to context?
Let's define spaces. We keep talking about spaces and that kind of a thing. Jeff Eaton.
I'm telling you, it's like General Electric.
Yeah, yeah. So Young, why don't you define spaces for us?
Sure. Spaces has gone through a variety of iterations, but it has always had as its goal, in some sense, the idea that there's configuration on your Drupal site, and there's always this situation where you want to turn your Drupal site into something like a multi-site within your single Drupal site. So, for example, probably the place that Spaces comes out of is sort of the organic groups sort of concept of, oh, I've got a group, I want it to be a working group, and there's all sorts of configuration that's going on the Drupal site that I sort of want to override for this particular group.
Something sort of like maybe Open Atrium, perhaps.
Right. So, for example, Open Atrium is a good example of Spaces in action. It's saying, okay, you have your group, and you can go do whatever you want with your group. You can change the site front page, you can change which features are enabled or disabled, you can change a variety of color settings, and all that happens within your little sandbox or space and doesn't affect anyone else. So Spaces is an API for basically making configuration in Drupal environment or sort of environment aware. And in its latest iteration, it tries to do this transparently. And so when we were developing the Drupal 6.3 branch of Spaces, it became quite a mindfuck where you do like variable get on the site front page and as a developer, and you'll get a different value back depending on what space is active. And so there's a lot of things going on in Spaces where basically as an API developer, you'll be using Drupal and it'll act like a different site even though you use the same API function to retrieve, say, a variable or context or so on.
Yeah.
So to sort of wrap it up, what I would say is that it's an interesting... To me, it's an interesting experiment. It's not directly tied to sort of the core problem that panels or context are trying to solve. But I think it speaks to some of the issues that people have with the block system and request handling in Drupal, where you want, in some sense, this sense of like anything can be overridden on a basis of certain conditions.
Right.
And that's something of what it's trying to step in and handle.
Cool. Well, we should start trying to wrap up the podcast. I wanted to mention a couple of things. First of all, Earl, there's a new panels that just came out. That's
yes,
exciting.
Big.
Yeah.
It was a big release.
Yeah, yeah, good one. And I know I'm always nervous when someone's working on a book to bring it up because I know how difficult it is to write a book. Will we be seeing a book that talks about panels, perhaps coming from...
Well, in theory, I admit that I have sort of put the book project more on the back burner because of needs to get all kinds of stuff done, including this new panels release. So I don't actually know when I'm going to get to finish the book, and then I have to revamp it for all the code that I've written lately. And I'm horrible at writing documentation. I don't know why I ever agreed to write a book.
I think pretty much about half the people I've met who have ever agreed to write a book say exactly that. I don't know why I did. And then
the other can't reply because they're busy writing a second book.
Yeah, exactly. cool. Yeah, I mean, I think, like, for me at least, I still have yet to really get my head around panels. I think that panels can definitely do a lot, but it's much more of a, you know, ramping up.
It has a steep learning curve.
Yeah, it has a learning curve that you have to kind of figure out.
And as we found out, some of the terminology is a little questionable.
Well, it just means
you never get it right the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the second, or the third,
or the third.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. I get it wrong a lot,
if we could just get rid of those users, we could rewrite it, and no one would complain.
Exactly, it's that whole backward compatibility thing.
Yeah, that's and so, I mean, I would generally recommend for people, like, panels is a great thing to learn. If you've got a weekend or a week and you want to start messing around with panels, do it, because I think it's good stuff to learn and figure out. If you've got a site to build quickly, and I think that getting up and running with context is usually a little bit quicker, especially if you need to, you know, extend beyond the Drupal block system into some of the stuff that we've been talking about. And panels, I mean, you know, again, the thing that it really does best is I think the things like MyPlay, where you've got like a single node that you need split out different sections of it in different places on the page, and you know, it's this really sort of kind of panel looking site. But if you don't really need to do that, and if it, like Young is saying with Development Seed, you know, they don't often get asked to do that kind of a project, and so context is usually fine for those kind of needs.
I'd say there's like three modes that panels really runs in. The simplest mode is the front page mode, where all you ever create with panels is a front page. Because a lot of sites have an introductory page, which is really kind of an aggregation of what you're going to find on this site. And you can use panels to do just that, where all it really does is that one page, and you put your pieces of content in there and then ignore it. And that's an easy thing to do with panels. You can install panels and have that page in an hour.
Yeah.
And then the second mode is where you're using it to take over a node page or a vocabulary page, because taxonomy term pages are a big thing that panels does well. And then the third mode is where it is your site and everything is done in panels.
Right. So I guess a question for both of you as we're wrapping it up, a little look forward. How will Drupal 7 and the changes, I guess particularly like API kinds of changes, are there changes to the block system?
Blocks are no longer required. The module can be disabled. So
that's something.
Although disabling the module removes the actual block content, so I have to figure out a way to get around that.
Boxes! Use boxes!
The content that blocks provide, I still want. I just don't want anything it does with them.
Yeah.
Are there any other bits and pieces in Drupal 7 that you all are looking forward to relative to these tools?
A number of underlying tools in C tools are in Drupal 7. Like I had to do a lot of work on the form system, and most of that got in. The Ajax framework, I think, is going to be a really big thing in terms of letting people more easily create better user interfaces. I'm really interested to see how the new entity system can work with exportables. Like, if we can find a way to basically make entities automatically exportable easily, that would be very interesting.
Yeah, I'm basically expecting a lot of the API cleanup to just make our lives a lot easier.
And some of them harder.
And some of them harder, of course. I think in the Drupal 7 cycle, I mean, I think we discussed this in San Francisco, that I'm pretty much expecting panels and context to keep living their split lives. And hopefully by Drupal 8, we'll be able to conquer the rest of Drupal core with a better request handling system.
And for the people who are just... system. And for the people who are just insane and, you know, feel like Drupal 7 is already old news, on groups.drupal.org, there's a group called Butler that's about this concept of, you know, how do we start thinking about retooling Drupal's, like, menu handling and request handling, so that the things that context module and ctools module and panels module have to do sort of from scratch today, you know, figure out what the common areas between all of these different tools we're working on are, and how that can be moved into core, so that context, ctools, panels can focus on things, can focus on solving different kinds of problems rather than just getting all the groundwork finished.
And I would say, that having more time is actually sort of a blessing for me, because I think every day that we're using context and ctools and things like that to do something new, I'm finding that I'm changing my mind about how I think about request handling and how blocks should work in Drupal, because I think, you know, I think the web is changing very quickly, and things that you may previously have thought, oh, well, that's not something you do on a web page, like, that may not be true anymore. That may be something you do on a web page, and that to me has really changed my opinion of how, say, like, request handling in Drupal should work, like, several times. Like, one day I'll be on the fence in one direction, and another day I'll think, oh no, actually passing a request object around in a compartmentalized way isn't going to work, or something like that. So I think there are a lot of problems that I think, to me, in my mind, are very open as to what the best solution is going to be, and actually what the sort of problems we want to solve are going to be like when we actually get there. So
yeah, that's
I'm certainly not rushing towards a solution here.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think just the whole concept of pages is very web-oriented, right? Whereas if you think of more like an application, a desktop application, or maybe iPhone, iPad, sort of you're getting into this hybrid sort of, it's a getting information from the web, but it's presenting it in a different way. The concept of pages oftentimes isn't really there. And so, yeah, it's just a different kind of request to get the information that you need. So,
hey, I got to say, this was a fascinating podcast, but a really terrible cage match. We're going to have to just take two module developers and put them in a big jar and shake them next
time.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, maybe DrupalCon, I don't know, you're both going to be in Copenhagen. We can get a bunch of Crisco or something and fill up a kiddie pool and, you know, go to town.
Ew. I'm sorry. Don't give the fat guy Crisco.
All right. Well, maybe we'll get a cage and a bunch of Crisco.
There you go.
Oh, well. So much for the Drupal fights. The harmony of open source. Oh, well. We can all hate on the block system.
Yeah.
We don't hate it. It's just, I think we've got ideas for how to change these things in the future, and it's exciting, all the work that everybody's doing. And I want to thank both you, Young, and Earl for both of these awesome modules. And I guess we'll just leave it to the listeners to decide which and how they're going to build their sites. And maybe we've given them some insight into how to make that decision for themselves in the future. Cool. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for being on the podcast, and we'll see y'all next time. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Adios.
Bye.
Thanks.